Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It wasn't just the defense. Our offense and special teams weren't up to par as well. And I was just disappointed with just, it didn't seem like we had the same energy and effort that we had displayed throughout the course of the season.
105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, alongside Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, soon-to-be Hall of Famer Leroy Butler, as we'll find out next Saturday, that Leap 36 officially inducted into the 2020 Hall of Fame. That, not a prediction, ladies and gentlemen. That's a spoiler. Also, our friend Gary Ellerson, former Badger Packer running back, here as well. And now we're joined on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline by Radio.com Sports NFL Insider and former NFL offensive lineman Ross Tucker. Go check out Ross's new show, Home and Home, on the Radio.com app or Radio.com/home. He's brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Ross, appreciate the time today. You hear, as a former NFL player, the coach call out the energy and effort of his players one game away from the Super Bowl. What are your thoughts on that?
That he's 100% correct. I was there, I was on the sideline, and I was kind of surprised by it, very surprised by it. I mean, I can't remember another game, guys, in the NFL, certainly in a game that important, where it honestly felt like the running back was going to take it to the house every time they gave him the ball. I mean, even when they were tackling him, it was like they were just getting his shoestring, just getting his ankle, and it looked like he was going to go. I mean, the whole stadium would stand up. There was like, oh, he got tackled by a savage. Oh, no, Jair Alexander got him. I mean, it was DBs making the last tackle. Otherwise, he would have had like three or four more house calls. Now, they eventually scored on those drives anyway, but never seen anything like it. Did not like the plan. Did not think, I thought the linebackers played especially terribly. And almost the entire defense stuck to glue like it was the fourth quarter, but it was the first quarter. I didn't go back and watch the tape. I didn't really need to. Watching it live and then looking up at the Jumbotron after each play, those guys could not get off blocks to save their life. I was stunned and frankly disappointed. I just wanted a close game, and B, I told people to take the Packers and the points. So I was doubly disappointed. Mm-hmm.
So here's what we got, Ross. Been a little firestorm here lately because of the press conference that Coach Matt LaFleur had, and I guess now they're retaining Mike Pettine. But from your vantage point, you've already kind of spoken to a little bit. It just feels like they got handled up front, and it felt like they weren't setting the edge. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out, what more could they have done outside of going to short yardage and goal line defensively?
Yeah, so a few things, right? So, number one, the Niners' running game is awesome.
Yeah, like, it is.
Let's not forget the fact that the week before, they basically did the same thing in the second half to the Vikings. And the Vikings have a really good defense, too. I mean, they had eight straight runs for a touchdown. I mean, they basically did the same thing the weekend before, at least in the second half, against the Vikings. So you got to give them a lot of credit. I think what happens is most teams in the NFL don't have a fullback. And if they do run with a tight end, they run away from the tight end because the tight end usually can't block. The Niners have a fullback almost every play, and they run it to the tight end. And both those guys are total rock stars. And so it felt to me like a lot of times the safeties, the linebackers, they didn't really know how to fit some of those two-back runs that Leroy used to have to fit up all the time. Mm-hmm. And even when they did get there, it's like they had never taken on a lead fullback before and tried to make a tackle. It's like they could not. I mean, George Kittle is taking B.J. Goodson 12 yards down the field and dumping him. How did that happen to an inside linebacker where a tight end is dumping you on your head 12 yards downfield? I mean, I don't know how that happens. I was a little surprised how much time they spent in regular, you know, with B.J. Goodson out there. Mm-hmm. I was definitely surprised how much two safety, you know, two high safety looks they had. I could not believe how easily the Niners were getting to the edge. I do think they have a very varied run game. And, like, the inside trap on 3rd and 8 when the Packers had 5, that's just an awesome play call. Those reverses to Deebo Samuel, yeah, those are pretty awesome. You, everybody flowing one way. Juszczyk puts his foot in the ground, leads the other way. There's, like, one dude out there. Juszczyk blocks him. And they, I mean, they're really good, but I also thought there were issues across the board. I mean, you don't get a performance like that unless there are issues across the board for the Packers like there were.
How much of a talent gap do you think there is between these two teams, the Packers and the Niners? That was brought up to Matt LaFleur today as well. The players after the game said they didn't think it was that big of a gap. And Matt LaFleur said, well, I've watched both games. It appears there's a pretty big talent gap between the two teams. What do you say?
I think that there is a small talent gap and a probably a little bit bigger than small coaching gap. That's what I would say. Mm. I mean, now, in fairness, if they don't have the fumbled center exchange between Lindsley and Rodgers, which looked to me like it was Rodgers' fault because Lindsley got the ball up. And usually if the ball – I was a center, so if the ball goes straight down, that means it hit the top hand of the quarterback and went straight down. But whatever, it doesn't matter. And then the interception at the end of the first half, where I think Rodgers was hoping Allison did something and he didn't. So if you think about it, if you eliminate either one of those, or really if you eliminate both of those, I mean, it's probably about a tie game. I mean, it's a very, very close game with the way the Packers played in the second half. They just didn't give themselves a chance, really, with the way they played in the first half. But I don't look at it. I mean, look at the D-line for the Packers. Kenny Clark, Za'Darius Smith, and Preston Smith. I mean, they got some guys there. I would say there's a pretty significant gap at linebacker.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys, Quan Alexander and Fred Warner and Greenlaw, the rookie for the Niners, they look like they're shot out of a cannon, whereas the Packers linebackers look like they were in quicksand. So there's probably a pretty decent gap there. Secondary, I don't know. I mean, Jair's really good. Sherman's really good. They're probably about the same on the other side. I don't think the safeties are that different. Receivers, they don't have a guy like Devontae, but maybe they have a little bit more depth. Their tight end is way better.
Yeah.
Running back's about the same. Offensive line, I don't think it's that much different. Quarterback, I think the Packers still have the edge. So I don't think there is a big talent gap.
When you look at this game here, and you start, they were talking about whether we weren't ready to play, it sounds like, and I don't know how you can't be ready to play when you're trying to get to a Super Bowl. I mean, that's, if you, for every NFL player, I've never been to a Super Bowl, but I would have loved to have just gone to one, just let me taste it one time. How can you not be ready to play? And if you're hearing that, who are you putting that on? Is that Mike Pettine? Is that Matt LaFleur? I mean, is it the players? If you got to lay blame somewhere, I'm not ready to play.
Yeah, so I'm a personal responsibility guy.
Yeah,
and I don't think at the NFL level, it's on your coach to give a fire and brimstone speech and get you ready. You know what I mean? Like, now, if he had him practicing really hard on Friday, maybe that's a little bit different.
Right.
You know, they didn't fly out there till Saturday. I know East Coast teams fly out Friday. I don't know. I mean, maybe those things are a little bit different, but ultimately, I mean, it's on the players. I never once thought I needed a coach to get me ready. I think I had 9 head coaches in the NFL. Mm-hmm. The only guy that really gave you speeches that made you want to kill somebody was Marty Schottenheimer. You know, Belichick doesn't do that. Joe Gibbs didn't do that. And they were great coaches.
Right.
I think it's on, frankly, the leaders of the team, whoever they are. And, you know, it's interesting. I talked to Gus Frat earlier in the week, and he was curious, I guess, would be a good way to describe Aaron Rodgers' leadership. In fairness to Aaron, I don't think everybody has to be like a rah-rah guy. I'll say this, though. If you watch, like, Inside the NFL on Showtime, or you watch some of the stuff, Patrick Mahomes, the last 2 games when they were behind, pretty darn impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty darn impressive how fired up he was, telling the guys, we're still winning, we're going to kill. I mean, he kind of got me going a little bit watching that show. And Aaron's just not that kind of guy. I don't think you have to be. I don't think Joe Montana was a rah-rah guy, right? You don't have to be that kind of guy, but I would say the leaders. I don't know who the leaders are on defense. I'm guessing Za'Darius Smith,
right.
But, boy, they did not get those guys. I mean, I was surprised at the lack of juice.
Talking with Ross Tucker, former NFL lineman, now Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, host of Home and Home on the Radio.com app. Talk about the breaking news of Mike Pettine being retained by the Green Bay Packers.
See, the thing that I was wrong about, Ross, I thought it was quarterback play. In the playoffs, the experience of Aaron Rodgers would prove to be superior to Jimmy Garoppolo, who threw the ball 8 times. So neither quarterback really was effective. So it came out to the other players. And I don't know if that's a trend or not, but if your quarterback can't get you into position, we just talked about Patrick Mahomes. He was down 24-0 and 10-0 in big games, and they came back to win. He also have great talent around him, but is the quarterback play going down now? You don't really need a Hall of Fame platinum.
No, I don't think you can say that if you've been watching the Chiefs. You know what I mean? I mean, Mahomes is the reason why the Chiefs,
absolutely,
more than any other, are in the Super Bowl. I will say this. Obviously Rodgers played more than Garoppolo and in terms of doing stuff and played better, but I didn't think he played well enough. I mean, I thought, if you think about it, I mentioned the fumbled exchange and the interception. I don't really care about the last interception to Sherman, but he missed a couple throws early that hurt them. I thought he took some sacks, the K'Wan Williams sack, another sack where he didn't show very good pocket awareness.
He
didn't get rid of the ball as quickly as he could have, which hurt their ability to move on. I did not think Aaron Rodgers. So here's what I would say. Rodgers needed to play better in the first half to stem the tide of what was going on defense. That's what I would say. And by the way, thank goodness they're retaining Pettine. I mean, look, off the top of my head, you don't win the Bears game, that opener, without Pettine in the defense.
I already said
that. You definitely don't win that Vikings Monday night game.
Absolutely.
That was huge, without Pettine in the defense. The only games I can think of where the defense kind of blew it for them was the
California
Eagles game. They didn't play great.
Right.
And maybe both Niners games?
Yeah.
L.A.
Even
maybe.
Both Niners games, and even the first Niners game and the Chargers game, the O-line got totally annihilated.
Oh, my.
And didn't really have much. But if you still want to put it on the defense, I'd put the Eagles game and both Niners games on the defense. Out of 18 games, that's pretty good.
Right.
Out of 18 games, 3 games that weren't great for the defense. And interestingly enough, all 3 games were teams running the ball down their throat. The Eagles ran it down their throat. The Niners both times ran it down their throat. Other than that, the defense was pretty awesome. And when I saw LaFleur say he wasn't sure yet earlier in the day, that would have been a very, very poor move by him. That would have been like hitting the reset button, and I would have had a lot different things to say to you guys. I think it's a very good thing they're bringing Pettine back. Now, if they don't take a step forward next year, or if they're bad, then that's a different story. But he sure as heck should be brought back after the event. It's the best Packers defense I can remember in a long time.
So let me ask you this. So next year they're in San Francisco in the regular season, and odds are they'll deal with San Francisco in the postseason. If there's similar results against the Niners again, but the rest of the year the defense looks good, then what?
Well, that's a whole year from now. At that point, I think you're probably having a different discussion. I mean, at that point, it's like, well, we're trying to get to the Super Bowl, and our defensive coordinator cannot solve their offensive coordinator. And so then I think you would maybe consider a change. If it unfolds the exact same way.
Right, where they can't stop the run. It's a little bit
different. If Garoppolo's chucking the ball all over the place, I don't know what the two safety looks were. I think maybe it was cover 4 and those guys were able to, run the alley. Or maybe Pettine was worried about the play action pass stuff that Kyle calls and thought, you know what, if they're going to have to run 10 runs, we'll be able to hold them to a field goal like they did a couple times. I don't know. But I was surprised by it.
Ross, do you believe that Kyle Shanahan's the best young coach in the NFL?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because I heard last year is how much of a genius Sean McVay is, yeah. And then now his team misses the playoffs, and you haven't heard anything about him. I just didn't know if you believe that Kyle Shanahan's going to go on that same track.
I think Kyle Shanahan has been good for a long time and will be good for a long time. I mean, I'll just tell you guys this, right? I know guys that played for him when he was in Houston as the offensive coordinator, and Cleveland, and with the Redskins with his dad, and the Falcons. And I have had a tight end like Owen Daniels, a quarterback like Sage Rosenfels, multiple running backs, receivers. Every guy, when I just talked to him privately, Eric Winston, offensive tackle, they'd be like, yeah, you know, Kyle's offense is just, it's just the best offense for a right tackle. It's just the best offense for a tight end. It's just the best. I mean, when every guy at every position says it's the best offense for their position, that's a good offense. I mean, that is a freaking good offense. I literally have talked to dudes at every position that just me and them, one-on-one, yeah, it's really designed for my position. It really makes my position easy. And every guy says that. Mm-hmm. That's a good sign.
Yeah, that
you
is.
Know, and real quick, we'll let you get going, Rosick, because here's what I thought was incredible about the game plan that Kyle Shanahan had, okay? You have to go to one of the best tight ends in the league and go, hey, you know what? You're probably only going to catch one pass. Maybe we're only going to throw you one. Hey, Garoppolo, listen, we're probably going to throw eight passes. And so hey, Debo, hey, say, you. I mean, you had to go to some big players that help you get to where you're going, and you're only going to throw it eight times. You got to have a lot of guys buy into what you're selling in this particular game plan. To me, I thought was absolutely amazing, because there's no way, and of course you won't, but there's no way you're walking up to Rodgers and saying, hey, A-Rod, by the way, you're probably going to throw the ball eight times.
Well, here's the thing, too. I mean, they didn't know for sure what Pettin would do and that they would run it eight times, but I understand your point. I would just say, like, watching it, those guys love it.
Yes!
I talked to you,
they did. Yes!
Game, I interviewed Kittle's pancaking B.J. Goodson and then rolling the dice like he's at the craps table afterwards. Like, he's literally doing hand signals like he just caught a 38-yard first down, except instead it was a pancake. Like, they literally have found guys that love it. They just want to win. The O-line, like, they're doing dances after these long these long runs. I mean, these guys love it. They love blocking, and that's a big reason why they're so successful. It shows.
Hey, do we have Ross on again?
Next week, we get him again before the Super Bowl.
I want to look further.
We got his number. Just keep calling him.
I want to look, maybe, because I know we got to let you get going, but I want to look further down the road
every week, just call
with the Packers and try to figure out what we really saw this year. I mean, is it real? Is it Memorex? You're an old guy. You know what Memorex is. Is it, you know?
Not really, but no. I know this much. I'm not going anywhere, Gary. I'm not going anywhere. Wednesdays at 2:50 p.m. Central Time, everybody in the state of Wisconsin, stop whatever you're doing immediately and listen to me. And if the Bucks win, send me a Frosty.
That's what I like to hear.
From Wendy's.
That is a promo unlike any other. I mean, that could be WWE type material, no doubt about it. Ross, appreciate
it,
man.
We'll be talking next week.
All right, buddy. That's Ross Tucker joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Is your passion outgrowing your home?
I really want
a Great Midwest
that
Bank home thing. Renovation loan. Make it the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. So we'll talk about that next.
We already talked about it, Billy. We can't go back, can we?
Yeah, of course.
All right.
No one listening to it. I talk defense. Y'all don't know nothing about defense.
You're going to have to wait till 5. Sorry, Roy.
Mitch!
Okay, I guess we'll do it. 414-799-1250. Personal ears from Stevie and Young Express.
Leroy snitching again.
Yeah.
That'll tell.
All right, Young Express Company, we talk about so much, continuing to grow. Are you looking for a new career? Would you like to be a part of a Christian-based, family-run company? A company that's been in business for over 27 years. Well, of course you would. They are currently looking to add positions in their sales department is Young Express. Now, you want to work for sales? No problem. All you have to do is apply online at youngexpress.com, JUNGExpress.com. Young Express, looking for people with high degree of integrity, energetic, friendly personality, willing to prospect new business via phone, email, and social selling, reliable transportation, high school diploma or equivalent, outside sales experience is preferred, excellent written, oral, and face-to-face communication skills are essential, and of course, closing and follow-up skills are a must. What can you expect if the Young Express hires you? 40-hour work week, salary plus commissions, bonuses and contests, generous mileage reimbursement, expense account, health insurance, 401k. Plus, you get a cell phone, tablet, and all sales and promotional materials provided to you by Young Express. A fun and exciting environment, and my favorite part, a chance to grow within the company. That's what we all want. Apply for the position that fits your passion at youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. Young Express. Success drives them.
Wendy's Big Show's back after this. Leroy Butler reacts, and you can too. Mike Pettine retained by the Green Bay Packers as their defensive coordinator.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.